This morning I'm going to give a talk on the Four Comforts of the Great Freedom Teaching. And the relationship of the Four Comforts to the attainment of wisdom, speech, mind, body, qualities, and activities. The Four Comforts are the following. One, the practice of resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. Two, the teacher. Three, the teaching. And four, the community. And the five wisdom attainments are the attainment of wisdom speech, wisdom mind, wisdom body, wisdom qualities, and wisdom activities.
What was the fourth one?
Qualities.
Again, activities.
Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, the Four Comforts. Well, their name or title is interesting, isn't it? The Four Comforts. Now, they're called the Four Comforts because they provide tremendous comfort. So that's a good clue as to their value. They're a means of creating more and more soothing energy in one's life and being more and more comfortable. So to the degree that we take advantage of the Four Comforts to that degree, then we can experience more and more soothing energy in our life. If we don't take advantage of the Four Comforts, then we can't have the value of their comfort. It's as simple as that. Now, the first of the Four Comforts is the practice of resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. This is the sole practice of the Great Freedom Teaching. There is not any other practice. And so to use that along with other practices is to dilute the power of the primary practice. If other strategies are used, then it not only dilutes the value of resting as awareness, but it also complicates matters a great deal. To just use that one practice is the swift and sure approach, and it's one that can be counted on. And how do we know that it can be counted on? Well, one, in our own lifetime, we see the evidence of how it has worked for other people who are around us in the Great Freedom Community all over the world. So in this way, we can see very directly the evidence, the result, that this really does work, that it can really be counted on. Then also, historically, we can examine this practice very, very specifically. It is the practice that has brought more people of the world peace of mind and complete happiness and demonstration of the wisdom, mind, speech, body, qualities, and activities than any other practice. So, again, we can count on it because this is something that people down through the ages have committed themselves to and have found it to be a means of bringing about happiness and complete peace of mind in all circumstances, complete freedom of all mental, emotional, and experiential constructs. So when we know so definitively that something really works, then we can really count on it. So we're not talking about just a few people who have been able to demonstrate the great comfort and value of this practice, but also millions of people down through the ages, millions of people. So what has worked for millions of people, we can say to our, we can go beyond any kind of ideas we might have about anything and say, well, this is what I want. And as it's worked for so many others, it's very likely that it can work for me too, because these are other people just like me. So this is the preciousness of this teaching. In addition to that, to even hear during your lifetime about this practice is a gift of the greatest value. There is no other gift in life that is of greater value. And so to give it the respect that is its due is very, very important. That just the idea that you've heard about this and that it's something you can put into practice in your life, something so simple, something so sure, something so direct, something so explicit, something so freeing, is the most precious thing that will ever happen in life. And the more that we rest as awareness until it becomes obvious at all times, the more obvious this too will be, that this is absolutely the most precious of all gifts anyone could ever possibly have in their human life. So that's clear, isn't it? Its comfort value is clear. So if we're one of those people who has to find the value proposition in everything, like many people are today, then this is more valuable than anything. It's more valuable than jewelry, more valuable than investment accounts, more valuable than houses, more valuable than our family members, more valuable than our friends, more valuable than our jobs, more valuable than anything in life. It really is more valuable than the cars we'll have in our life, more valuable than the accumulation of all the things we will own in our life, is the practice of resting as awareness for short moments, repeated many times. So again, to honor it and give it the respect that is its due is extremely important. It's not a casual thing to be introduced to the practice of resting as awareness. It is an immensely precious and unparalleled gift. To the teacher. Now, what is a teacher? Well, first of all, a teacher is someone who has mastered the practice of resting as awareness. So the teacher is a master of awareness. That's what the teacher is. The teacher is a complete master of awareness. And what that means is that the teacher has actually put this practice into effect in their own life and has derived incredible comfort from it and has been able to achieve mastery of things over which they had no mastery prior to that by the simple practice of resting as awareness. Now, the significance of a teacher is that the teacher has been practicing resting as awareness for a long time, like for me, for example, 25 and a half years. So that's a long time. Now, I don't need to try to rest as awareness. Awareness is implicit as everything for me. There's no division anywhere. There aren't any points of view. So you see, when we meet a person who has already derived the full comfort and benefit of resting as awareness, it is a real boon in our life. Because why? It's just a simple human proposition. It's a person we want to learn from, and we can learn a great deal from that person if we open ourselves to the comfort and soothing energy available. But if we don't, and we just treat it like a casual friendship or an ordinary situation, then we can never derive the benefit from it. Because the teacher isn't there to hang out with our points of view. That's not the teacher's job. The teacher's job is not to reinforce and affirm our points of view. That isn't the teacher's job. The teacher wouldn't be a good teacher if that were the case. For a teacher who is resting as awareness without trying to do so, they have at their means, they have at their disposal skillful means and wisdom, which means they already know what all your points of view are. They can see them clearly. They already know what they are. So there's nothing to hide. Why try to hide? And how do they know this? Because they've become so familiar with their own points of view. They can now feel compassion for everyone else and their points of view. So the teacher is never ruffled by anyone's points of view. The points of view of the participants can't get the teacher going or ruffle them in any way, because they clearly see their own points of view. Thus, they can clearly see what other people's points of view are, too. So the best way to make use of a teacher is to say, hey, you know, I'm here for you to contribute to me, and thank you for doing that. I want you to point out anything you see in me that I'm not seeing myself, so I can rest as that. That's a very good way to make use of a teacher. And so you see, when we meet such a person, again, it's like the practice of resting as awareness. There aren't many people who ever get to hear about this. And so when we not only have the practice, but we have a teacher that we can really be close to and receive input from, receive incredible contribution from, then why not take advantage of it? Why not say, hey, here I am. I'm all yours. How can you contribute to me? So, you know, again, there's nothing to protect or defend. Why do that? Why protect or defend anything if you're here to rest naturally as awareness? There's nothing to protect or defend anyway. And the skillful means and wisdom of the teacher are an expression of total love. It isn't when they make a contribution to a participant, it isn't like a friend dissing another friend or trying to... That means criticizing another friend or judging a friend or trying to, in some codependent way, make them into a better person. That's not what the teacher-participant relationship is about. The teacher-participant relationship is such that the participant gives the teacher permission to contribute to her or him by showing up. So you've given that permission just by showing up for the teachings. Now, today, especially in the West, it's very difficult often for people to have a completely open-hearted relationship with a teacher, because this idea can often seem foreign or even repugnant to allow someone to be in relationship with you who could contribute to you so significantly and to just be completely open to that. That may seem foreign or, as I said, even repugnant. But to the degree that one can be totally open-hearted and receptive, to that degree it can be the most incredible relationship you'll ever have in your life. So, you know, I'm just saying that if you want to take advantage of that, it's available to you in the Great Freedom Teaching. It's completely available, and that is extraordinarily rare. To be able to have open dialogues with teachers 24/7 is extremely rare. There isn't any other tradition in which that's occurring. And so you see, just that is, it's something of immense comfort and immense value. And again, it is not a casual affair. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not an ordinary relationship. the teacher is there to help you pull your covers. And so, you know, the teacher can see things. First of all, the teacher can sees you as you really are. So most often the teacher does not see you as you see yourself. The teacher sees only the glory and magnificence of you and sees exactly how to make you see that. Because most of us see ourselves in a very ordinary way. We see ourselves as just another person. We don't see ourselves as a magnificent display of wisdom, love, tremendous energy, tremendous beneficial contributions to the whole. So that's how the teacher sees us. The teacher doesn't see us as our points of view. The teacher doesn't see that at all. The teacher sees our magnificence, and the teacher knows how to support us in the flowering of that magnificence. So, you know, if we really want that for ourselves, we can enter into this most precious of relationships with a teacher and allow the teacher to contribute to us in a way wherein we'll get familiar in our own right with these amazing qualities that are already accomplished within us. Now, the third comfort is the teaching. Of course, the primary teaching is the practice of resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times and attaining the wisdom, speech, mind, body qualities and activities. And every single word of the vast Great Freedom teachings supports that. It supports resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times until it becomes continuous and there is the demonstration of continuous soothing energy at all times plus the wisdom, speech, mind, body qualities and activities. To have a written teaching that supports that every time we turn to it and rely on it provides great comfort. So this is why it is called a comfort. The written teaching is a tremendous comfort. There are very few written teachings that speak directly and unerringly to our true nature. Most of the things we read just point out that we're an ordinary person like everybody else, and they don't support us really in being who we are. They just develop other points of view for us to rely on and get involved in. So to have a written teaching that can support us our lifelong is also a precious gem. It's a tremendous gift. It's not anything to be taken lightly. It's not the kind of thing that you read once and you just toss aside. It isn't that, you know, you will necessarily feel drawn to or moved by every single one of the Great Freedom teachings, but there are certain teachings for each of you that can support you your lifelong. And so it's important to be familiar with all the teachings and then see which of those are the ones you want to rely on in your own case. There are no other teachings like this on planet Earth that are written in a common language that everyone on Earth can understand. So the language of the Great Freedom Teaching is a unifying language for humankind. It doesn't use any special terms that any human being can't understand. It focuses on awareness. There's no one anywhere on Earth who can say they're not aware. So that's our commonality. That's our great commonality as humankind. And then the fourth comfort is the community. Well, we all have built communities for supporting our points of view. So it stands to reason that when we begin to rest as awareness for short moments repeated many times, we would build a community that is based on that. Resting as awareness for short moments many times. We all have our ways of developing community and friendships, clubs, organizations, family, friends, whatever it might be, that are associated with different things that we enjoy doing in life. And so, of course, we would definitely want to have a community for resting as awareness. What does that mean? It simply means that we have other people we can share the joy of resting as awareness with. So these are people that we can share the joy of the natural ease of awareness with. We're all in this together, and we can support each other significantly in resting naturally for short moments repeated many times until it becomes continuous. And in the Great Freedom Teaching, that support is available 24/7 all over the world. So that is another very precious gift and an exceedingly rare gift, to be able to reach out for support and get it and know you'll get it. To not be sitting at home wishing you had someone nearby who talked awareness. Looking around and not seeing anyone who's talking awareness. It isn't like that today. With instant means of communication, the worldwide community of great freedom supports everyone in resting naturally as awareness. So again, this is of tremendous comfort. In the Great Freedom Community, people form lifelong friendships that are unlike any friendship they've ever had before, because they're completely based on openness and spaciousness and complete understanding of the true nature of points of view. And so there's an ease in relating that it's really unparalleled. I see people working together all over the world and doing so effortlessly. There are many people who have a full-time commitment to great freedom. They aren't involved in anything else, and very active in purchasing and building centers in India and in Europe and teaching the Great Freedom Teaching and absolutely committed to the spread of the Great Freedom Teaching in Israel as well. So in Montana and here to some degree in the Bay Area as well. And so, you know, the community of Great Freedom is really amazing, and we can get a small taste of it here, but if you really want to get a full-on taste of it, come to India and see what's going on there, because that's really where people gather from all over the world to be part of the Great Freedom Community, and it is amazing, wonderful, exciting, and incredible to be together. And we have a World Service Conference every year in India. People come from all over the world, many, many people filling a huge hall. And so to really get a feel for what's going on, it's just a lot of fun to participate in that. It's really enjoyable. And if you want to come to India, you can have your choice of going to Dharamsala, Rishikesh, or Goa, all places where we have the Great Freedom Teaching. If you want to come to Europe, well, there are plenty of teachings going on in Europe too. So wherever you want to travel, you could definitely make the Great Freedom Teaching a major focus of that travel. It's a great way to go. It's a perfect vacation. So you see, the community too is very much present on the internet, and increasingly so. Since we began, we've modified our site over time to be more up to date in terms of what technology offers. And right now we're undergoing a major change, a major redesign on our site, where when you come to our site, you will see video, live video on the home page, and it's going to be an amazing and very dynamic site. We're working with a company in New York to bring this about, and it's going to be very professional and very much community building. So this is going to be another way that we bring the whole worldwide community together through that site. And my primary emphasis is going to be broadcasting teachings through that site rather than traveling so much to places. Other places I'll be here in a broadcast studio where any of you can come and be there just like you're here now. But it will be a broadcast studio, so we'll have high-quality broadcasts on the Internet. So you see, in all these ways, we build community. We also have the principles of unity and service, which are our organizing principles. They're a very detailed operating structure for a worldwide collaborative team. And they are priceless, precious, and unerring in their ability to create an effortless workflow among people, an effortless collaborative workflow. So, you know, very seldom in our lives, if ever, will we see an organization where such is the case, where there is a continual collaborative, effortless workflow among people that is respectful, loving, caring, and just plain fun. So you see, this is the reason that these are called the Four Comforts, because they provide tremendous comfort to life. Just hearing about them, one can feel the comfort. Just by hearing, the comfort can be directly experienced. Now, the Four Comforts are related to the demonstration of not only continuous soothing energy at all times in life, but also to the demonstration of the wisdom, speech, mind, body qualities and activities that come about through reliance on the Four Comforts. When we believe in all our points of view, then we're ordinary. We're just ordinary. And everything we talk about and think about and have emotions about and the things that we do in our life, it's all based on points of view. And usually we have points of view followed by some kind of impulse to act, which is just another point of view. So this is what ordinary life is about, an ordinary speech, ordinary mind, ordinary body, ordinary qualities and activities. The ordinary speech talks about points of view. That's what it does. It talks about points of view. That's all it knows how to do, because that's what it's trained itself to do. But underlying that speech and pervading it, ordinary speech, is wisdom speech. And wisdom speech is like the roar of a magnificent lion. When a lion roars, all the animals in the jungle fall quiet. The melodious roar of the lion quiets everything at once. It quiets all points of view. So this is the importance of wisdom speech. It's totally unlike ordinary speech, which is always stirring up a big mess of points of view. And wisdom speech, ordinary speech, is also focused on self. the self is the reference point for all the speaking. How to further one's own ideas of oneself, who one takes oneself to be. So that's what ordinary speech is about. It's about getting friends in order to be happier in life, or getting the right partner, or the right sexual relationships, or, you know, getting the food you like to eat, or the other stuff you like to buy. And then the mind's all wrapped up in that too. Everything refers to self-comfort and self-benefit. And once in a while there might be the thought about someone else, but that's always the motive, always is to make oneself feel better through doing good works for someone else. So you see, this is what ordinary speech is. It talks about these things all the time. And when there's conversation with other people, the conversation is about points of view. My points of view versus your points of view. And there's never any real coming together, because it's all based on points of view that are empty of any kind of independent origin. So there's nothing there to form a relationship on. Now, by the power of the four comforts, what comes about is a refinement of speaking, and this occurs naturally. That more and more, one just doesn't talk about points of view as though they are something and they have an independent nature. And one doesn't relate to oneself as someone who is who has an independent nature. More and more, there's just awareness. And that awareness pervades speaking, so that speaking is lucid and crystal clear. And it is about benefit of everyone, not just oneself. So you see, this usually comes about gradually, and there are points of view that have been adopted that gradually resolve in the pure space of awareness. So say we're involved in ordinary point of view like activities like gossip, criticism, taking stabs at people with different kinds of statements we make, and all these are avoidance of relationship through speaking. Now, when we rest as awareness, gradually all that stuff, say we love to gossip, so we're always talking about people as though they have an independent nature, rather than seeing them as awareness. And oh boy, you know, this is what all our relationships are based on. We talk about other people. Now, this is very common. It's very, very common. We form relationships with others by talking about other people. And so when we rest as awareness, then we reach a point where that's just not an option anymore. It just isn't a way that our speech is going to be used, and so we naturally stop doing that. And then what comes about next is we notice how many negative thoughts we have about other people. And so then we get to rest as all those negative thoughts and emotions that we have about other people. Well, in this way, you see, speech isn't just the words that we speak, it's our thoughts as well. Our thoughts. Anything that has a description attached to it is speech. So then as we rest more profoundly, then all those thoughts and emotions that are negative statements about other people, those naturally resolve. And then there's just this pristine lucidity of speaking that only speaks about what's real. It doesn't bother to be involved in other kinds of speaking any longer. And this comes about effortlessly and naturally by the power of the four comforts. What could be better than that? You know, what could be better than that? There's nothing to practice to try to make wisdom speech come about. It's already accomplished. In just resting, it starts to flow out of your mouth. just easily and effortlessly and fill your mind. And so that brings us to the wisdom mind. Well, the ordinary mind, again, it's filled with all kinds of thoughts about I, me, and mine. Everything's about I, me, and mine, and this constant self-referentiality. The self as a point of view, and then all of its self-referring points of view that revolve around it, like the planets revolve around the sun. So when we just rest as awareness, all of the self-referentiality of the mind, the constant obsession with self, and with self-centered fear, all of that just quiets down and resolves in pure awareness. And as it resolves in pure awareness, the mind becomes radiant and clear, and all of the thoughts within the mind are thoughtless pure awareness. And so this is what wisdom mind is. It's the outshining of all points of view in a single seamless expanse of absolute evenness and equalness, lucidity and radiant clarity of mind. And so, too, you can see that this is quite unlike ordinary mind, isn't it? It's quite unlike ordinary mind. And then the wisdom body is not at all like what we think of as the ordinary body. Our ordinary body we think to be just our flesh, blood, and bones, and sitting around here, and we're kind of trapped in there, and that's our ordinary body. You know, it was born, and then at some point we'll croak and we won't be here anymore. So that's the ordinary body. Now, the wisdom body is quite different than that. First of all, the ordinary body is, it has all this stuff going on in it, and it seems like there's someone in there who's supposed to be in control of all this stuff going on. But, and it's all within the skin line. Now, the wisdom body is equal to the vast expanse of infinite space. And so is the wisdom mind and speech. It's not located anywhere. So the wisdom body, mind, speech aren't located in here. They are the vast expanse of space that includes here, the here and now, the radiant clarity of the here and now. And so by the power of the four comforts, we come to realize that we're not limited by our bodies. We're not dependent on our bodies. Our bodies depend on the wisdom body of awareness, of pure awareness. It isn't the other way around. And so we come to know ourselves in an entirely different way, and we become fearless about the limitations of the body. Things like birth, life, death, waking, dreaming, sleeping. We become fearless about these because they're just points of view that are outshone by pure awareness. So we come to understand in a definitively experiential way the true immensity of what we are. And as we realize this true immensity of our wisdom, speech, mind, and body, then what naturally flows forth are wisdom qualities and activities. And what are wisdom qualities and activities? They are qualities and activities that are of tremendous contribution and benefit to the whole, to the entirety. And those wisdom qualities and activities can be demonstrated in many different areas: healthcare, education, any problem facing the world, environmental problems, scarcity of food and clean water, any of the problems facing the world, these wisdom qualities and activities can be demonstrated in those areas. And I will talk specifically about the demonstration of wisdom qualities and activities in a master of awareness, so a person who teaches the practice of resting as awareness for short moments many times, and the attainment of continuous soothing energy and the wisdom, speech, mind, body qualities and activities through that. And the qualities and activities of a master of awareness are the following. One, the power to introduce people to awareness. In other words, not the promise to introduce people to awareness, but the power to introduce people to awareness right up front. Not at some distant point in the future, right up front. No waiting around. Number two, the power to support people in gaining full familiarity with awareness and the wisdom body. And its pervasive soothing energy. So both of these, the power to introduce and the power to support in gaining full familiarity. Three, to provide teachings that fully support not just oral teachings, verbal teachings, but also written teachings that fully support people in gaining familiarity with awareness in a full-out way, not just a limited way, but a full-out way, a full-on way. And lastly, to provide centers for study and practice, so places where people can gather in powerful ways to study and practice the teaching. So these are the qualities and activities of a master of awareness. And whenever these qualities and activities are present, then many, many people are benefited. It's as simple as that. So as you can see, when we take ourselves to be our points of view, we limit ourselves immensely. We really limit ourselves immensely. And why not see what's possible? You've checked out the other, the ordinary, and so why not take it all away? See what's possible. When it's so easy, why not check it out? You can always have your misery refunded. But I've never known anyone who wanted their misery refunded once they're introduced to awareness and know they can rest as that.